Begin by thanking you for the invitation to be here to speak with you this evening. It's a very pleasant honor for me to be asked to come and address you and say some things from the Bible this evening that I hope will be encouraging and helpful for all of us as we seek to be the kind of people that the Lord would have us to be. I have spoken at Manslick Road one other time, and it was when you were in the old auditorium. And I guess when I come here, I understand how my wife feels whenever we visit my family in Illinois. They always talk about how they've known me since I was just a small child, and several people have said here that they remember my wife in that way when she was just growing up. And so it's good to be with you and to have the opportunity to come and worship at a place where I guess my wife partially grew up anyway, where my mother-in-law is much more well-known than I am, and that's kind of a nice thing, and I'm grateful for those friendships that we have and the long years of service together in serving our God that we have experienced together in one way, directly or indirectly, and it's just really good to be here with you tonight, and I thank you so much for the invitation to be here. I'm wanting to say a few things this evening about the church being a place to belong. And hopefully as we go on, I'll be able to explain a little bit about what is meant by that. The Bible uses many different figures of speech to describe the Christian's relationship both to God and Christ and also to fellow disciples, to other followers of the Lord, those of us who are trying to serve God faithfully together in this life and hopefully can live forever in heaven with Him as we surround His throne for all time. We're called, for instance, branches in the vine. The Lord is the vine, we are the branches, and so we're fellow branches in that vine that is Jesus Christ Himself. We're called living stones in a spiritual house, talking about the family aspect of the church and how each of us are stones that build up that house that we are supposed to be in serving God together. We're workers together in a vineyard. We sing a number of songs along those lines about being workers together with the Lord and with one another in the vineyard of our Lord. We're citizens in the same kingdom with Jesus as our King, and we are fellow citizens of one another, and we serve our King together in His church. We're brothers and sisters in the family of God, and we are members of the body of Christ, joint members with one another, with each of us having particular and differing functions to perform from one another. Each of those illustrates or emphasizes some aspect about our relationship with fellow Christians, responsibilities that we have to God and that we exert together with one another as we seek to serve Him in this life. And so we want to spend a few minutes this evening talking about those spiritual relationships in this kingdom as they relate to what is commonly in the New Testament referred to as the one another passages, talking about all of the different obligations that Christians have to one another. And we don't have time to look at all of the different passages. There are so many of them in the New Testament, but I've got them written down, and I just want to very quickly go through this list. If you're writing, unless you know shorthand, you probably won't be able to keep up with me, but if you'd like to see the list afterwards, I'd be more than happy to try to share this with you. But Christians are taught in the Bible to be at peace with one another, be devoted to one another, to give preference to one another, to be like-minded with one another, to receive, encourage, greet, care for, serve, to bear one another's burdens, to be kind to one another, to forgive one another, to submit to one another, to bear with one another, to teach, comfort, exhort, consider, confess to, have compassion for, be hospitable to, and the Bible says above all things to have fervent love for one another. Now each of those responsibilities, each of those one another commands as they're found in our New Testament could be a whole sermon in and of itself. And we don't really have time to do that in one short lesson that we're going to study together this evening. But I want to focus on a couple of those responsibilities tonight as we look at the Church of Jesus Christ, the church for which our Savior shed His blood, died on the cross that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might come together in a unit that He calls the church or the kingdom in a local congregation, as we seek to do those things that would bring honor and glory to our Father, as we seek to reach out with the gospel of Christ to those who are lost, and as we try to help each other on this difficult pathway of life with all of its trials and all of its difficulties and all of the ups and downs that we face in life, that the Lord has brought us together in the church to help each other with those things so that we might all go to heaven when this life is over. So I want to start this evening by looking at several of the passages that deal with this concept that as members of the body of Christ, we are members of one another. Members of one another. And so let's start in the book of Romans, and let's look at Romans chapter 12. If you have your New Testament, I would encourage you to turn your Bible there to that place. Romans chapter 12, and there are a number of things. We're very familiar with the first couple of verses of this chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let's go to verses 4 and 5. He says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." One of the things that I love about the Bible is that if we look at it, most of it is fairly simple for us to understand. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't things in Romans and Revelation and other passages that may be difficult and challenging for us to understand. But when the Bible makes a statement like this, it's intended to be very simple, very straightforward, almost impossible to misunderstand, so that we might all know those things that God would have us to do. And what he's saying is that just like your physical body is made up of a whole bunch of different parts, each of them having a particular or a peculiar function that body part is supposed to perform, that's the way the body of Christ is put together. That we're just like a body, and that we're all a little bit different from one another, but that each of us has something to contribute. Each of us has something that we are to add to the overall work that we do for God in a local church or a local congregation. The next passage I want you to notice along those lines is Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to call your attention there to verse number 25, whereas he's giving in this part of the passage a definition, a description, if you will, of things that are supposed to describe us as new men or new women, as new people in Jesus Christ. He compares the old life to the old man that we put away, that we put to death, and then he talks about this new man, this new person, the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves now as children of God, and he gives a lot of individual commands and responsibilities in the last part of Ephesians chapter 4, but I want you to notice especially verse 25 when he says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." That's our phrase again. You see, we are members of one another. So what does that mean? That we as Christians are members of one another. Well, it means in one way that we are mutual members of the same body. We recognize that word picture that the Bible gives us of Jesus as the head and the church as his body. He is the head of the body, the church, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so we understand that that's a common analogy that the New Testament uses to describe the people of God in the New Testament system of doing things, that we are the body of Christ. And he says we are mutual members of that same body. That's true in the universal sense, but I think here he's talking about in the local or congregational sense, that when we're members of a congregation with other brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are members of one another. What that also means is that we are either directly or indirectly connected to one another. There's something that combines us together, that joins us together, and that is the fact that we're members of the same body, members of one another, if you will. Certain parts of my body are connected to each other. I have feet and I have toes that are connected directly to my feet, and I have hands and fingers that are directly connected to them. And then I have other parts of my body, like my head or over my legs that my hands are not connected to directly, but they're still all a part of the same body that God has given me. I've always kind of wished He'd given me a little bit taller one, but that has nothing to do with my hands or my legs, I guess. And He's just saying here that we're indirectly or directly sometimes connected with one another in the body. And as we can understand then that illustration that the Lord is giving us in these passages, we can recognize the truth, the reality, that it also means that we each have a different role or function to perform. Just like the different parts of our body have different things that God expects that part of our physical body to do. I write with my hand, my right hand. When I tried writing with my left hand, it didn't ever work out very well. I could make some letters out, but most people couldn't read what I wrote. My eyes have a particular function to perform, as do my ears and my nose and my throat and my lips and all of the different parts of the body. You can start with the head and go all the way down through internal and external parts of your body, and each of those things does something just a little bit different from all of the other parts. That's the way our physical body is put together. That's the way God designed it. And the same being, the same sovereign creator who made our physical bodies, made the spiritual body that He calls the church, and particularly in reference to these passages, the local church, the congregation of God's people, people who have joined themselves together with one another to serve the Lord in a particular community, we all have differing functions to perform. There may be some overlapping of things, of responsibilities or functions that we can perform, but let's face it, we're all just a little bit different from someone else. Someone else who preaches will do it a little bit differently. For me, even if you assign that person the same subject that I'm assigned to speak on one occasion, you give that to someone else later, and they may say some of the same things that I said, but they'll probably approach it from their background, their perspective, their education, all of their experiences that they've had in life, and so they would present it just a little bit differently. Teachers are different, song leaders are different, people who serve in various capacities in the church, we're all just a little bit different from one another. And I want us to turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because that's the important point that he's making there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he's going to use this same analogy, this same word picture, to refer to the church as being made up of different members with different functions to perform. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 12. This subject really goes all the way down to the end of the chapter. We won't take time to read all of it, but I want to read a few important verses for the lesson that we're talking about tonight. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So let's make this point very clear, and then we'll go on to the other lessons that we want to learn from that. But when you add us all together, we're one body, one church of Jesus Christ. And that speaks of the unity of how the different parts of my body are all supposed to work in harmony with one another. That my head doesn't take me in a different direction from my legs or my feet. They operate based on what the head says that the rest of my body is supposed to do. Now, I'm not very coordinated or talented athletically, so sometimes I don't always do that extremely well. But generally, if my body says, okay, you need to head toward that door back there and leave, that's what I do. And so, but it's just one body. Even though it's made up of different parts and they all do different things, they all work together toward a common goal, whatever that might be. Climbing a tree, making a picnic table, driving a car, any of those things, my body functions together because they're guided by the same head that tells all of those things what to do. All right, let's go back to verse 12. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now notice verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. I'm not exactly certain what's the most important member of my body or yours, because they're all important. They function. They all have different things that they're supposed to do. My brain's fairly important, but if my heart stops beating, my brain can't do much else. And in order to get around, my legs and feet are fairly important again, but if my brain quits working and my heart stops, my feet are, and legs are not going to take me anywhere. And so what he's saying is that there's no one member of the body that really is more important than the others. I may learn to function without certain parts of my body if